In this Deming Institute podcast, Fred Warmbier, CEO of Finishing Technology, and Kelly Allen, an advisory board member of the Deming Institute, discussed their New York Times column that documents the Deming journey of finishing technology. In today's episode of the Deming Institute podcast, Fred Warmbier and Kelly Allen are our guests. Since 1998, Fred Warmbier has owned Finishing Technology, a metal finishing company in Hamilton, Ohio. Kelly Allen is a senior associate of Kelly Allen Associates, an advisory board member to the Deming Institute. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Fred, let's start with you. Can you share a little more about Finishing Technology, its history, and the markets that you serve?
Sure. Finishing Technology is in the metal finishing business. I started in the chemical business in the 80s, selling chemistry to companies. And the evolution there was, I thought there was more of a market in manufacturing chemicals. I started my own chemical manufacturing company, very small, just me, sold the chemicals, made them. And as I was out making calls, folks would ask me, hey, can you do this finishing service for us? Can you do that? And over time, I started saying yes. Ultimately, General Motors approached me and wanted me to deburr 69 million fork bolts, and thus began my real metal finishing business. The interesting thing about that is it was an over $1 million commitment. After we had done about, I bought a 20,000 square foot building, started, got a shop running, and they pulled the plug on the business after about $300,000 worth of business. And so, but at that point, I'm in the metal finishing business, and in the middle of all this, I'm doing other things. I still have my small chemical plant that I rent space from in a little warehouse down in the city. And then I'm buying real estate on the side, and then I have a family with children. And so that's kind of how I ended up that's why I need Kelly.
Okay.
You can hear all this stuff going on, and that's really how we got into it. It was basically saying yes when people asked us if we'd be interested in doing something for them.
Okay, very good. When did you first come across the work of W. Edwards Deming then?
I went to Aileron, which is an institute in Dayton, Ohio, that offers entrepreneurial workshops, I guess, and things of that nature. My wife saw an ad in the paper for them, and she thought it would be a good idea if I attended. So she signed me up for a course. It's called the Course for Presidents, and I went to that, and I enjoyed it. I heard people talking about things that made sense to me, like how come I don't know how to do this, and why is this so hard? And I felt like, okay, I kind of like that, and I trusted the environment. So I've been up there a couple of times, and they simply sent out an email that said Deming Management Methods Seminar, and so I looked into it, and the price was pretty affordable, and I actually took five or six guys from our plating shop, and I purposely took I want to call them lower tiered folks, but they are the guys that load and unload parts. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I didn't know what Deming was. I had no idea, but I liked Aileron. It seemed like a good deal to go there. And that was my introduction. And then, of course, if you want me to continue, sure. Kelly facilitated, and it was an interactive seminar, and then something just clicked there. And it basically was, the Aileron was basically a bunch of entrepreneurs sharing kind of personal stories about how this went this way and that went the other way. The Deming Management Method, it pretty much offered me a roadmap to operate my company with, or at least it looked like it might be able to do that. And so what I generally try to do in these situations is I sent Kelly, he did an excellent job interacting with Clay Mateel, and Clay founded Iams Dog Food and runs Aileron. And I was impressed with how he handled himself. Sent him a thank you note, and he sent me something back, or we called, and I asked him, I would like to study management. And he gave me a list of between 10 and 12 books to read. And, you know, first of all, he says, hey, I've got a staff of 30. I can send somebody down to talk to you. And I said, no, I would prefer to study this and then make my own decisions about how to move forward. And so he, of course, we had the Deming book, but the other books were really psychology books. And there were some manufacturing. So it was an interesting hodgepodge of books. After I read them, and I bought them all and read them, I needed to talk about them. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really started talking with Kelly and started writing about my experiences at work, because it's very humbling to have to admit that for example, today at work, they come up to me, we've got spots on the parts, and they're talking about, should we continue running them? And it's, And I'm busy, and then I get over here and I realize, wait a second, these guys need to be reminded to put them on hold. Mm-hmm. So we can slow the process down. And so with Deming, Kelly reverts back to Deming, and he just kind of guides me in that direction. And it's really a great system for some, you know, you have to be humbled to the point where you're willing to admit that I'm looking for a different way of doing things. And that to me, the Deming management methods are a clear-cut path that if you pay attention, they make sense. For example, psychology is a key component of the Deming management methods. I had never thought to think about what are my employees thinking when they walk in the door. Mm-hmm. Now, sure, I didn't really think what was I thinking when they walked in the door? Hey, I'm glad you're here. Have some coffee. Let's bust some work out and make some money, which is fine. But after 30 years of that and your business has grown somewhat, and then you start having quality problems, that method doesn't work. And so it's just things like that. And I have to give a lot of credit to Kelly, because I use him extensively to help guide me through the journey that I'm on.
Now, both you and Kelly are writing a New York Times column. Can you tell me a little bit about how that first came about? How did you get
sure.
this column, and what's the purpose of it?
Sure. Well, with Kelly and I, I felt comfortable with him, and I just felt a need to start writing about some of these episodes at work because they're truly comical. For example, someone comes in and says, our customer has asked us to do a time study on how long it takes to get their work done so they can do some scheduling. So I bring them in a meeting and I say, how long does it take you to log these parts in? So I get a look and it says, you know, pretty darn long. So that's one piece. What about the other component? Oh, that goes much quicker. So I'm on the board and I write part one, pretty darn long, part two, much quicker. And again, it sounds comical, but I'm living in this world and I don't take it personal. And then, so I would just, and I'm paying Kelly as a consultant. So I think, all right, I'll write this stuff down. Let him assimilate it so he can, when we talk, he's heard it at least once. And so then I would just write these stories to him and he'd say, hey, those are great. And he, but more importantly, he got it. Mm-hmm. Because a guy in my position, who is successful, who has done pretty well in life, it's humbling to go through this experience. So as we were writing these things, Kelly assures me, hey, look, you're just honest. Mm-hmm. I work with hundreds of people. This is so common, it's not uncommon. But when you're living in it and you say, hey, you know, you kind of got to let your guard down and tell the truth. And so the writing experience for me was just sharing with Kelly. And then I'll let him take over about how we ended up with the New York Times.
Okay, sure.
Well, we ended up with the Times because the editor, Lauren Feldman, had reached out through a number of folks looking for some examples of companies who had unhooked from doing commission sales, pay for sales. Okay. And the Deming-based philosophy is to put salespeople on salary and then profit sharing. And so we had a list of 8 or 10 companies that we could recommend to him, and they did a story on that. And then he said, the next time you're in New York, let's get together. So I met with him, and he told me he was looking for some additional bloggers for the boss.blogs.newyorktimes.com, their online blog for small business. And because I had the stories that Fred had written, I thought, this is perfect. You know, we can massage these into, edit these into the format that the Times needs, and it'll make for pretty compelling reading for their subscribers and for those folks who access it for free. And that, so we submitted, edited and submitted, I think about 12 or 13 posts just for Lauren to be able to see. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, he's a busy guy. It took him a while to get around to it because it was, you know, quite a few pages. And, he wrote back and said, let's do this. I really like these. This is going to work. And it really fits in an area that, we don't have right now, but we're trying to focus on what's going on with the old line companies in the new technology world. And that's what they ended up calling the Fred's blog. Fred's the author. I'm sort of in the background, which is appropriate. But it's basically, you know, how do you manage in this new world of work, this new world of technology, this new world of high technology in an older line business? Well, and what I think people or readers are discovering through Fred's blog, through our blog posts, is that it's not really very different. Mm. That Fred's world is a pretty complex world. Yeah. There's a lot of inputs, to use Deming language. There are a lot of inputs to get to the outputs.
Okay. And so I've read some of the early articles. Can we talk about that a little bit? You've touched on it, but I mean, there was this 60-day thing with a client, and you've gone through maybe three things associated with it. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's those were how we come to that place is we end up saying, how do we get here? How can we be at the end of a project, get a call from the customer. Customer wants to come in and see me and to, you know, to look at the parts and move forward with production. And we're not ready. And the parts aren't ready. Mm-hmm. And we can't run good parts. And so that story is a microcosm of the types of things that my company experiences.
Yeah, and you're probably the only one, Fred, that's ever experienced that. So,
yeah. Well, it's humbling because in the perfect world, you would like to solve those problems and move on, and then not have more. And it is an ongoing thing. But so that story was just kind of an example of, okay, we work through this, and Kelly mentions inputs and variables, and what we've learned and through our studies are that we have variations in manufacturing, and there's a term called tampering. And tampering is when you go in and you look to change things to create an outcome, but the things you change are generally not appropriate to the desired outcome. They may create the outcome that you desire at that time, but overall they can be problematic. For example, turn the soap up, make it work, and then you might say, well, but the parts were too oily coming into us. If we could have solved that problem. Well, so in our company, we tampered around everything, and it's created tremendous problems. And so that the lost 50 days were examples of us coming in, getting to the end game where we're supposed to be producing parts, not really understanding what's causing the problem, because we changed so much during that time period that our heads were basically spinning, mm-hmm. and we really didn't know the exact cause of it. But we probably were better after that than we were before, because we did learn some things. And that's kind of what the Deming methods help me with, are that, hey, these things are normal. You're going to look for ways to solve them that probably aren't the correct ways. So we've done a bunch of I call them team-oriented problem-solving tool, and it's called a PDSA. Mm-hmm. And that's where everyone gets together and we do a plan, do, study, act. And the interesting thing about a company like mine is when you throw the word study out there, folks have not thought in terms of, have we studied the problem? Have we looked at? So it's been kind of fun to get into the PDSAs. And that's when we had the lost 50 days. That was the beginning of my relationship with Kelly. He was kind of watching what we were doing and kind of throwing me stuff from the sidelines. And I was implementing that. And we were having PDSAs. And they do have an impact. It gets all of us together. As I said, to me, it's a team-oriented problem-solving tool, and we study, okay, and we try to develop our critical thinking skills as a team, and we ask people, what is your theory of this? And Kelly, I heard this the other day. We ran some parts in another department, and some of them came out, and some of them needed some help, and he said, look, I have an idea. I'll test my theory and get back to you.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. And so those are the things that the reality of with this type of managing, at least for me, is it can wear you out, okay, because it's a lot of work, because mm-hmm. you're trying to get it right. And so you've taken 10 years of let's bang it out, let's get paid, and now you're saying, look, I'm not really worried about getting paid. I'm going to get paid. I want to get it right. I want it to make sense. And I want to run the company this way. We're all going to be happier and healthier. And we're going to be around a lot longer if we can operate this way.
Okay. Fred, when you said, Tyra, you were referring to the banging it out.
Yes. But it's also a lot of work to implement the Deming manage. It's a ton of work, because what it does now is you're competing for space in your mind. And the first space says, get the work out, get done, get paid. And everybody in the whole shop's operating that way. And then you're letting in the Deming management methods that say, wait a second. We need to study this. We need to understand our system. We need to operate in a completely different way, so that we can be more effective and more efficient in the future. And so that's what I deal with, is that there's a competition. So that is tiring, Kelly, when you're trying to change from an old system, which is, hey, this is fun. You know, that's good for guys, you know, on testosterone and all that. But as you get older, you find that, okay, hey, that is not going to work for me in the final third of my career. I'm going to wear out, and it's going to be awkward and ugly.
Good. I wanted you to talk about that a little bit more, just to get to that clarity. And Tripp, also something that you'd asked about, and we haven't answered yet. You asked about the purpose. Mm-hmm. And Fred and I set up, I think, three pretty specific things that we wanted to do with the New York Times, okay, posts on the blog. Educate, and inform, entertain through watching it live. I mean, Fred's performing without a net. I mean, he's putting it out there every week as it, you know, as it happens. It's the real stuff. And the third thing, I think, it was his words, but it mirrored Dr. Deming's words, which is to try to improve things, try to make a difference. Okay. Those three things.
Call to action. Okay. In other words, for example, we read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And so the idea with the New York Times, because we had to talk about it, because I'm not going to look like a babbling idiot and that sort of thing, but I'm going to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And so that is humbling. So as Kelly said, it was we want it to be informative. We want to entertain. We want it to be a call to action. And that's where his help is tremendous, because all these books that we've read, I sit down with people and I don't know many people that aren't looking for something now. Mm. And so, again, in the last blog, we talked about a friend whose wife had died, and then now a friend's son just passed away, which is just, really challenging. And, I was able to share with them the journey that I've begun through Deming, that I said, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning is a good book. You can bury yourself in it. And I think it goes back to the self-actualization, Kelly. Where's the tie into Deming, to the self-actualization and the awareness that I think is really what we're looking for?
Well, the tie-in through Maslow, which is the hierarchy of needs, to Deming, is that Deming wants to really help people transform themselves and their organizations. And Abraham Maslow, the top piece of that, it's often shown as a pyramid of the hierarchy of needs, is self-actualization. And Deming talks about win-win, that everybody needs to be able to win if you're going to have a sustainable system, whether it's a company, a family, a city, a nation, the world. It's win-win. And Maslow points out that that self-actualization piece includes helping others be all they can be, not just helping yourself be all that you can be. And I think that was a huge self-insight for Fred, when he realized that helping others be all they can be was a powerful, powerful, intrinsically motivating piece, and helped him to re-energize. Fred, would you say re-energize yourself for the business?
Yeah, it's still taking place, but it absolutely is, to where my wife remarks, "Hey, you're staying to work later." It feels good to do that. Kelly and I, when we talked, I made a comment. It seems like the best day of a guy's life is the first day he opens his business, and the second best day of his life is when he sells it.
I thought that was for a boat.
Well. Hey, you can plug in anything you want.
Okay.
Don't do wife. At any rate, I've seen that so many times, where the folks sell their business, they're wore out, and the business just doesn't do that well when they're gone. Mm-hmm. And they may be happy, they may not be happy. And I said, look, that's not how I want to spend the final third of my business career. I want it to be positive. I want to understand it. I want to feel good about it. And that's why I went to Aileron. It's like, hey, there's got to be something better out there for me. I'm just not figuring this out. And that's why I've gotten with Kelly and Deming I want to go through this, and I want to feel really good about it. I want it to make sense. Mm-hmm. And when I walk away from it, I want it to be a real positive experience. And again, that may sound corny, but I bet if you analyzed a lot of businesses that sell, they aren't for those reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let me ask you a question, Fred. Kelly kind of started into it. I just kind of want to broaden the conversation a little bit around what's this been like for the workers?
I think it's been good, and it's been confusing. And fortunately, we have trust, because we like each other. Mm-hmm. I like these guys. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's hard. And part of as I said, this is not a 3-month ordeal. This takes time. And part of it is we're changing the culture in the way that we do business. And Kelly asked if, when I made the comments that it's very tiring when you're competing with two worlds. Yeah. But as the world is moving more towards the Deming management methods, it's becoming calmer. And we will have less stress in our environment. And do they see that? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they do. I don't know that. Here's what's really important. What are they looking for when they walk in the door? Okay, they want to make a difference. They want to be thanked for what they do, and they want to make a decent pay. Mm-hmm. So they want to be thanked. They want to be appreciated. And so if I'm paying attention to those things, then they're gonna very able to go along with anything else. If I'm paying attention to those things, if I'm truly thanking them and caring. For example, yesterday, one of the workers comes over and I'm logging in work and I'm measuring parts up, and he has other work, and he comes over and he asks me if he can help. Mm-hmm. And so this guy is a kind of a little lower tiered, and it's like, yeah, absolutely, you can help. So I had him sit around with me for probably 15 minutes, but I know that made him feel good. And so I have a saying, I don't like to say no to people. Now, if you say, now, Trip, when you ask me for your $5,000 bonus, I'll probably be able to say no, but I won't say no directly. I'll say, you'll talk to Kelly about that. He's got more money. But at any rate, when someone in the company, I would love for them to come up and say, I want to get better at Excel. Will you help me go to an Excel class? I'll pay. Kelly knows this. I brought five guys to Aileron. I've sent others there. So our culture has always been, hey, let's try to educate ourselves and get better at what we do. We haven't hit them. This is the onion peel analogy. It's a slower, I don't want it to go that fast because it'll change back the other way. We're probably a little less than a year into this, and probably really only 6 or 7 or 8 months into it. And I predict in that same amount of time in the future, our the goal here is for the stress level to come down, the quality to go up, and to become a better company.
Okay, very good. Now, this is kind of a collective question. This would be for both of you. And because you guys are going to have two different perspectives. You're going to have a perspective, Fred, as the, you know, owner of this finishing company. And then you're going to have Kelly, who's going to be looking at it from a Deming perspective. But what are the successes and struggles that you've had in applying the 14 points or the system of profound knowledge, whichever way you roll with the Deming philosophy? What have you seen? I mean, you've touched upon it a little bit here, but where are you struggling and where are you having great success?
Getting everybody in the organization, myself included, to slow down. Okay. To read what we're looking at. As we've evaluated this, I think Kelly used the term upstream. So first of all, we look at the parts, and then we say, oh, we've got spots on the parts. And then we start working on everything that's in the line that goes along with the parts. Okay. And then we say, okay, well, we've changed all those variables. And then we look at, okay, what's our quality system like? And then we realize, oh, we've got a login procedure. We're not, and then, so what's been the most challenging thing for me that's almost giving me nervous breakdowns is when we realize our system is not robust enough to handle what we want it to do. It's basically been, if the paperwork's not right, work around it and move on. And again, this is humbling for me to admit, because you'd say, oh my God, the paperwork's not right. How can you possibly do your job? Well, we do 600 a month and millions of dollars worth of work. But the reality is, as I've started becoming more enlightened based on being able to see things in a different way, I've went upstream, and then I started saying, look, I don't understand how we log parts in. I don't understand our system. And it's interesting because so it's When you say what would be the toughest challenge, it's changing the system, which will change the culture. So in the old way of thinking, our system was set up that, okay, the paper says to run these at 700 amps, but they don't work, so I run it at 1,000. Okay, but if you don't change the paperwork, what if you get run over by a truck? Or why doesn't it work based on our so when I started studying our system, I found, I'm embarrassed to admit this, and you're going to get tired of me saying that, but hundreds of those things. So I had my son come in this summer and to shadow me and just kind of watch me operate. And we were talking about the system, and I just said, you know, I'm out there. None of these process sheets are right. I said, this is ridiculous. And, you know, of course I own the company, so I ought to be looking into the mirror. Yeah. It's like the OJ Simpson thing. You know, who do you think killed your wife, OJ? And they got, have you looked in a mirror? my son says, Dad, you want it so that your employees could not possibly operate here without the system. In other words, we want to become so dependent. Our system needs to be so robust that we couldn't possibly think of operating outside of it. And up until a year ago, almost everything, we had a system in place, but we didn't understand it. And we tampered with it so often that it really becomes a very ineffective system. So our biggest challenge today for the employees and for me is to create a robust system that we can trust, that we can operate from. Once we can do that, and again, yesterday, we ran some parts and the coating thickness wasn't the proper thickness. So we looked at it and one guy said, well, we can't measure him, signed off on it. So he did the wrong thing. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go after him. And then I looked at it and I realized, when I say I'm going after him, I'm not, but you're looking for like, okay, how could we fix this problem? And then it goes back to, wait a second. Those parts weren't measured properly for the square footage. Who the heck measured those parts? All right, now I'm O.J. Simpson. I need to look in the mirror. I measured the parts. Okay. And I undermeasured them. And it affected. So why did I undermeasure? You know, to this day, I don't know. It's what is that, confirmation bias? Some form of that where you're doing so much, but you're not, you'd be better off doing a third of what you do, right? Rather than the two. Those are the challenges that our company, and they're good challenges to have. Fortunately, we're making money, we're successful, and our customers like us, and by and large, we like them.
Good. Good. Kelly, what's your view?
Fred's being way too humble. He makes it sound as if he doesn't really know what he's doing, but that's not true. That's really not true. He has a lot of things figured out. And in part, I think we've discovered that people just... it's maybe the fourth rule of Dr. Deming's funnel is that if you are not using the protocols every day, they start to drift. And then somebody trains somebody else and it drifts further. So in part, what Fred is having everybody engaged with is getting back to the core of how we do a process, making sure that it really is robust and reliable rather than doing workarounds. Because as he said earlier, the culture has been, let's get this done out the door and make some money. And obviously that's still true, but getting it done, getting it out the door, making the money doesn't have to be as hard if you understand the Deming approach, both in terms of process improvement and also in terms of the management philosophy. So that brings me to something else that Fred said, which is, delightful summary of Deming, which is, changing the system, and that will change the culture. Mm. That's huge, huge. Mm-hmm. Changing the system in which people work changes the culture, and that the people influence the culture as well, versus trying to change the behaviors of the people. Change the behaviors of the system. Change the rules and policies of the system. That's a difficult concept for many people, but obviously Fred's internalized that pretty quickly.
So, well, and okay. One of the things that Kelly had brought to my attention, and through the Deming seminar, we learned this, and that did stick with me, and this was huge. If your factory is failing you, what percentage is the fault of the employee, and what percentage is the fault of management? Keep in mind, management owns and controls the system in the beginning. Is it correct, Kelly?
Correct.
Management's responsible for the system. So, Tripp, I'll ask you that question. I'll challenge you. I'm not sure if you've done what your background is, but if I was going to ask you, what percentage is the fault of the employees, maybe the guy that doesn't make the widget properly, or what is the fault of management who just runs the company? What percentages would they be according to Deming?
Well, unfortunately, I am familiar with Deming, and I know that 94% of the problems are associated with management and 6% are associated with the worker.
Okay, good. All right. Sorry. I could have done more homework. But anyway, okay, that's not the answer that I got at my company.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reality is it's kind of fun when you go through and as a management, when I realize, okay, if they're screwing up parts, it's either they're not trained properly or we don't have a robust system in place.
Good. So you've kind of touched upon some of this last question throughout our conversation, but I want to ask it a little bit more directly. What advice do you have for business owners that might be considering or interested in the Deming philosophy?
Well, you got to be looking for something. Okay, so it helps to know what you're looking for. I love to ask people, what are you looking for? And so, I asked Kelly in his career, what are you looking for, Kelly? And he says, Fred, I want to make $1 million a year. I want to work 20 hours a week, and I want to chase my wife around all day.
I never said that, of course.
I was looking for better management. It's not that complicated. I knew that this isn't working for me. I'm not enjoying this, and so there's got to be a better way. And so that if you can, and again, if you're the kind of person that wants to change and feels like you go to work and some things aren't making sense, and you think you could be a better manager, then I think you need to study management. And I think Deming's had a profound influence on management worldwide. My son reminds me that if people go to college for management and most of them fail. So true quality management is a tough nut to crack. Is that correct, Kelly?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. The very last question I usually ask this is there anything that I didn't cover during the course of our conversation that maybe you'd like to share, or is there any correction that something that you did say that you'd like to kind of go back to?
No. Okay. No, other than it's been a fun journey, and it's I'm enjoying this, and it's healthy for me, and I appreciate Kelly, and I appreciate you here today, and I'm looking forward to where we end up. Again, it's we have a fair amount of work to do, but it's work that I understand a little bit better today. So, no, thank you.
Okay, very good. Kelly, do you have any parting?
No, I think that Fred has encapsulated really well from an entrepreneur's perspective. Because entrepreneurs are always probing, looking, thinking, figuring things out. Figuring things out, I think, is, if I had to say one thing about Fred, he's really good at figuring things out. He's very tenacious. He wants to figure them out. And the entrepreneurs we've worked with over the years are that way. And they do figure them out. And I think if you check back with us in a few months, Fred will have even more figured out and even more implemented in the company. Because that's where his passion is, and he's going to do it, and he is doing it.
Very good.
And anyone who's an aspiring entrepreneur, those characteristics are critical importance, which is why we want to share those with the readers, the listeners of your podcast, but also the readers at the Times.
Well, and we'll be sure to have a link to the New York Times articles coming from the podcast too, so that people
can
keep up with that. And we'll definitely have you guys back because we want to know how your journey's going.
Great.
And see how things are coming along and what new things you've learned or maybe new obstacles that you've come across. So very good.
Terrific.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for sharing your time today. And I really enjoyed hearing your story.
Thank you, Chip.
Hi, this is Trip Babbitt announcing the 21st Annual International Deming Research Seminar, where you can see and hear the latest applications of Dr. W. Edwards Deming's philosophy. The 2015 Research Seminar will be held in Washington, D.C., March 23rd and 24th at the Georgetown University Conference Center. Join us to hear innovative new approaches and directions being tested by others to enhance operations, build trust, foster leadership, promote commerce, create ethical business cultures, and sustain success. Register for the event at the deming.org website. I hope to see you there.